Okay, everybody, go ahead and get your Bibles open to Luke chapter 1. We'll be looking at the last part of this chapter, Luke 1, 57 through 80. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. We'll be thinking about the focus of this passage, and the focus of the sermon is God's shining mercy. There's three times in this passage that you'll hear the word mercy. One, talking about God's great mercy. Second, God's promised mercy. And then in the last instance, God's tender mercy. And all of these are pointing to the work that God is doing to bring His Son into the world to reconcile people to Himself. So let's look at this. Before we do, I want to pray and ask you to pray with me and for this time, that God will open up our ears and our hearts to hear and apply these words into our lives. Lord God, we thank You. We thank You that we can sing these songs. We're thankful that we can join our hearts in praise to You. We're thankful for the wonder of what You have accomplished, and I ask that You would help us to continue to marvel at Your work, that we would be in awe of You, that we would not grow weary of hearing Your word, and especially at this time of the year when we think we've heard it all before, God, we need to hear it all the time. The good news that You are with us, that You have visited us, that You have shown forth Your mercy to us. Thank You for Your work. Thank You for the wonder of who You are. Thank You for Your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, after Mary gets word through the angel, and after she goes and visits her relative Elizabeth, and after she goes back home, then we pick up the story of this baby that was born to Elizabeth and Zechariah. And so we see this narrative that Luke is giving to this friend of his, most excellent Theophilus, that this person would have assurance of everything that Luke was writing down. And so Luke is giving these words as a record of eyewitness testimony, of others' stories about what happened. And as we come to this section, verse 57, I'll read straight through and then come back and make some comments about the very last part of this section of chapter 1. It says, "Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, 'No.'" Now, I'll just take a moment and comment on this part. When even well-meaning folks around us try to get us off track from what God's asked us to do, we need to stand our ground. And we need to be firm. This family was not arguing with Elizabeth. They weren't in a debate. They were simply doing what custom was, and that was to name the firstborn child after the father. But Elizabeth knew differently by the angel, and so did Zechariah. And they're determined to follow and be obedient to God's word to them. So she gives a firm no. She says, "He shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And it's interesting that the name John means God is gracious. So Zechariah is writing out, "His name is John. His name is God is gracious." And once that happens, look at what takes place. It says that when he did that, well, they are all wondering. His name is John. They all wondered. Verse 64. "And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, what did he say? Verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. I hope you heard that second time there in verse 72, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Now, so far, a new dad is not talked about his son. Not one stitch. He's talking about God's work. He's blessing, he's praising God. Now, I see this very tender moment where he turns, and maybe he's even holding his 8-day-old son, this newborn baby, and an older man with the wisdom that brings and with the knowledge of God's work and being filled with the Spirit speaks these words. But notice, he's still talking primarily about God's work through this child. And just imagine him talking to this little boy. And you, child. And you, child. The things that Zechariah probably never saw because he was that old and because he didn't live to see John grow and to become a man and being that man out in the wilderness calling people to repentance. But he's talking to this baby, inspired by God's Spirit, prophesying these words, you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because, and here's the third time this word is referenced in this section, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. We just sang these words from this section and from Micah. The sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And then verse 80 adds a postscript to John and to this moment, this part of the narrative. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. I want us to notice something today, and that is that God speaks and God keeps his word. He does as he says. Out of his great promised tender mercy, God is at work to send forth his son into the world. Yes, for the people who sit in darkness and who sit on the doorsteps of death, a great light is about to shine on them. The sunrise from on high shall visit them. That is great news of God's shining mercy. There's many things that I wrote and fleshed out here, and if you'd like these notes, I'll be glad to send them to you. I really want to focus on just a couple of things here in this section that we looked at here in verses 76 through 79. The first is that Zechariah, out of this overflow, he's speaking well of God. He's not bitter. He's not complaining. He's had 9 months to think about God's activity in his life. And the first words out of his mouth are blessed. And it's the word that we speak of when we usually come to a moment after someone has died. We have the eulogy. That's what this word is. Blessed means to eulogize or to speak well of. So he's speaking well, not of the birth of his son, but he's speaking well of God. He's praising God. He cannot stop talking about what God is doing, not only in his life, but in the life of the nation, the people of Israel, and what's going to take place because of this advent, this coming of this baby who will be the one to visit. So the first thing I want us to notice is just that, that out of God's mercy, God visits us. There's two things here that I want us to see about this word, this phrase in verse 78, tender. The word tender means to have compassion for. It sounds a lot more pleasant and more poetic to say tender than it does to say intestines. And that's what the Greek word can mean also, is your guts. So Dr. Luke used the more poetic phrase here to say tender, you know, that you feel it in your gut. You have that compassion, that feeling. And God is showing forth His tender mercy. And the word mercy is a combination of words that are poured into the Greek language from the Hebrew. There's two words at play here. One is to show favor to, and the other is to have loyal love for. So combined with that, God's favor and His loyal love coming together to show forth His mercy, His good will, His loving kindness to people. And out of God's tender mercy, God visits us. That God visits us really is a major theme of this gospel, of the whole Bible. Dr. Luke is taking this phrase from passages like Exodus 4:31 and from Malachi 2. God comes near to His people. Listen, God is as close as the next sunrise. He's that close to us. Have you ever been out walking or been outside and think, wow, this sunlight, it can't get any closer. It's right here. It's right on my clothing. It's on my hands. I cannot escape the sunlight. It's so close. I can see it, but it's also making me feel warm. It's giving me a light to see where I'm headed. I like the sunlight. And especially on these cold mornings, light is such a refreshing and welcome friend to see light. And Zechariah is saying, God's light is about to shine on people who are in darkness and who are at the point of death, who are sitting at that place of death. He's not simply talking about people who are in physical darkness. He's talking about spiritual darkness, spiritual death. That God visits us is the heart of the gospel, and He's that close. God sends forth His Son into the world. God goes to see us. God looks our way. Just refer back to the first parts of this chapter. Mary saying, God has noticed me. God has looked my way. Elizabeth saying, God has noticed me. God's looked my way. Here, God's looked our way. God sees us. God cares for us and He visits us. As John the Apostle writes in his prologue, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And as Matthew writes, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. That is amazing. And no wonder Zechariah continues to pour out his blessings, his speaking well of the Lord, because of his awareness of God's mercy and visiting His people. That God is with us, that God visits us, is good news. It is something that we need to take to heart, that by His presence, He's with us. May we rejoice this season, this day, this week that God has visited us. May we delight in His nearness to us. May we praise God that He looks our way. Sometimes we can get so busy, so wrapped up in all of the last minute things that we forget what we're doing and why we're doing these celebrations. May we stop and thank God that He's visited us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Second thing I want to point out here, I have five things, but I've narrowed it down to two for the purposes of this time this morning. God gives light to those who sit in darkness. I've mentioned that in part of what I've already read, but God gives light. That's just another way of saying that God brings salvation to people who are in need. Zechariah's words reinforce and parallel his previous statement about God giving knowledge, his knowledge of salvation through us. He's giving that knowledge through this baby born through John the Baptist, who would go and prepare the way for the Lord. So God is bringing light. He's giving light. Out of his faithful love, out of his tender mercy, God will give knowledge of salvation to the Lord's people. Through John, God will point out their need of salvation. Through John and many of the disciples that will follow, God will direct those who are in darkness to the light of the world, Jesus. Even now, God is working through people like us. How? By his grace, God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's from Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. By his grace, God, through Christ, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. That should sound familiar. That's from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. You see, church, by God's grace, he calls us to proclaim Jesus. He calls us to proclaim him, the light of the world. And still, he's calling us to speak to those who are in darkness and in the shadow of death. Charles Spurgeon talks about God's mercy. He says, God's mercy is so great that you may sooner drain the sea of its water, or deprive the sun of its light, or make space too narrow, than diminish the great mercy of God. A.W. Tozer once said, if God had not been merciful, there would have been no incarnation, no babe in the manger, no man on a cross, and no open tomb. Blaise Pascal says, we implore the mercy of God, not that he may leave us at peace in our vices, but that he may deliver us from them. And John Bunyan once wrote, where guilt is most terrible and fierce, there the mercy of God in Christ, when showed to the soul, appears most high and mighty. We need to recapture that sense of wonder, and it only will happen as God fills us with his Spirit, as we are able to speak well of God. There's so much that we can talk about, so much that is on our minds, and I'll speak to that in the sermon that I have prepared for our Christmas Eve. But notice here that God is already at work by his mercy to call people to repentance, to prepare the way, to show forth the way, to bring people out of darkness into light. May we hear and heed God's call. May we tell of Jesus, the blazing, brilliant light of the world. I thought about that sunlight this week as I was walking, as I was enjoying the warmth of that sunshine on my cold hands. Even though I had gloves on, I could still feel the cold around me. I was glad that I was heading right into the sun with my sunglasses on and my face enjoying the warmth. I was thinking about how light travels from that star closest to us, the waves that come to us, the waves of wonder. How does it happen? It's still a mystery, but it happens that we enjoy almost instantaneously that light. And God is shining into our hearts, and he has by his grace. He's shown us the wonder of Jesus. The particles that come forth as light, the particles that are so powerful that they can heat up and melt away the morning frost, and that it evaporates up into the sky. Power. And we know the power of God through Jesus Christ. The beams that come as light. These brilliant beams. And God has shown us the brilliance of His Son in Jesus Christ. May we stand amazed this Christmas season because of God's shining, tender, great, promised mercy. May we be people like Zechariah who consider the wonder of God's work and can only speak words of blessing and praise from lips newly opened with a voice newly discovered. May we use and cherish God's word for His glory in this Christmas time. Let's pray. Father, we are amazed that You have spoken to us, that You are faithful. We shouldn't wonder at that. We shouldn't doubt that You keep Your promises. You've shown Yourself faithful, and we know that You are faithful still. Your mercy is glorious, and we thank You. Thank You for Your promise through Jesus Christ. Thank You that we can behold Him and be in wonder. May we enjoy and speak well of You this day and this week. Given opportunities, may we not pass up a moment to proclaim You, Jesus, the light of the world. We thank You for the gift of life through Jesus, and we pray that those that do not know Him, that You would open up their hearts, that You would call them to that place of repentance and faith in You, Almighty God, through Jesus Christ. All for Your glory, we pray. In His name, amen.